Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to be with you again. We always enjoy the opportunity to fellowship with you and to know that you are praying for us. And we would acknowledge we do look to pray for you through the year as we think of you from time to time. And so it is a privilege to be with you again. If you would open your Bibles to the book of 2 John. 2 John, I passed out a handout. Not that we'll be using it very much even this evening, but it may be of help along the way. So as we're studying and considering the message for this evening, is in other places I'm on this particular trip studying series, but that's where my mind has really been. But in praying for this particular one message, I was led to move into 2 and 3 John. Found out yesterday that you were looking at, as an assembly, 1 John. So I pray that the Lord will lead, that perhaps there will be some benefit in comparing Scripture with Scripture. And so when we think of these two little books, there are a handful of one-chapter books in God's Word, as well as we think of Jude, we think of Philemon, think of Obadiah. But as we think of the study of the Word of God, we can look at a word-by-word study. We can look at a phrase and compare Scripture with Scripture. We can study a verse. We can go and look at immediate context. And yet, of course, we broaden out to a chapter or even an entire book. But yet, as we find it beneficial to compare Scriptures that the Lord has led the same writer to pen. So when we look at 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the Gospel, and of course Revelation, we find this writer John. So when you have quite a bit of volume of study to compare the writings of John, we find certain words and certain phrases that are prominent. And as tonight, we like to think of truth and love. As you think of those words throughout the words from John, we think of truth some four dozen times. We find over 60 times the word love. Of course, we find prominent through the studies of John the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so when we consider before us this outline, just two columns, of course, of 2 and 3 John, very similar flow as you look at these short letters. We go from who it is addressed to a bit of the theme of truth and love, and so on down the page. And the flow is very similar from one book to the other. So we'll look at 2 John to start with and move back and forth a little bit with 3 John as well. Beginning in our reading in verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So we think here of truth and love. This letter is addressed to the elect lady. Some would suggest a particular sister. Some of your commentaries may even suggest just alluding to an assembly. But nonetheless, we see this elder unto the elect lady and her children. We speak here of love and truth from the very beginning. You know, Paul said in the epistle to the Ephesians to speak the truth in love. So how powerful are those words, how necessary those words are to speak the truth in love. So here we see both love and truth, not only here, but in 3 John, and as we see in different times in particularly the Gospel of John. And I know in your study of 1 John, quite as well a very important theme to think of truth and love. You know, when we think of there in verse 1, as he acknowledges truth and love, we see that we as believers, and I think this is something that comes out in the study of 1 John quite a bit, that book that is a bit of a test for the believer, 1 John. We see a series of tests, things that would display a true believer. We love the Lord. We love His Word, and we love His people. Is this true for you? You love the Lord Jesus. You love His Word. You love His people. So as we notice here, the truth's sake which dwelleth in us. You know, because the Spirit of God lives and abides in us, as we see in Ephesians 1, we realize that the Spirit of God teaches us. Turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The truth, the Word of God, we find clarified in our hearts and taught to our hearts by the Spirit of God. As we see in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural, the soulish man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so the Spirit of God teaches us. The Spirit of God lives and abides in the true child of God. And so therefore, we think of the truth. The Word of God resonates in the heart of the believer. In our text of 2 John, again, we're comparing back and forth to the two epistles. 3 John would begin in this manner. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So as we see this attitude of prayer, you might say, as the brother is expressing his concern for them, that not only do they have health physically, but that their soul prospereth. You know, we have a long list always of things that are very necessary with health issues and concerns and issues in our family and our own lives and people around us. But as believers, we need to do as example in Scripture and pray fervently for our souls as well, for our spiritual well-being. You know, when you look at the Pauline epistles, time and again, we see him praying for the saints for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So as we fervently pray for one another with the health problems, the difficulties we have, we do pray that we may be in good health if the Lord His will be so. We need to fervently pray for the spiritual well-being of the fellow brother and sister. And so we find this, and we go back to 2 John, as we find both this elect lady being written to and this one named Gaius. And as we press on, we notice in verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So we find here that phrase, the Son of the Father. I find that interesting because in the context of what we have later on in this particular book, such as in verse 9, it's going to speak of the grave importance of holding to the doctrine of Christ and how there are ones that do not. And so as we think here in this acknowledgement of His grace and His mercy and peace, we're reminded of the Son of the Father. You know, if we're going to hold to the truth of the Word of God, the central person, the central theme of the Word of God is the Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find the Son and the Father. We think of unity between the Father and the Son. You know, we go back to the Gospel of John. We could go back to one example, such as in chapter 5. We find in that section of John, say chapter 5 through 8, there are many acknowledgments in that section about how the Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Son. And we see how in perfect unity we find the Son doing the Father's perfect will. In 5 and verse 22, back up to 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." So we think of the imperfect unity, the Father and Son. Back to our text of 2 John. As we move on and consider truth and love, we see an example of how this can bring great joy to our hearts when we recognize others that are following in the truth. Such as verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Thinking about as well in 3 John, notice there verse 3 and 4. "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You know, each of us can think perhaps of children and grandchildren. Many of us can think in terms of how important it is to our hearts that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a thrill it is to our hearts. What a joy it is when we see them walking in truth, as we've prayed for them for years, as we've witnessed to them, we've seen them exposed to the truth of the gospel, and to see them as they mature, as the Lord saves them, and to hear them going on for the things of the Lord. Is there a greater joy than this? You know, we could all have examples. We could go around the room and ask the adults, you know, to give an example. And perhaps you can say that about more than or one of your own children or grandchildren. I think of one just recently of my children. I won't name a particular name, but someone in this room named him some 20-some years ago, Possum. That's not his real name. But he has a Bible name. I'll just put it that way. But I'm encouraged that recently, more and more, he calls me. He has opportunity to speak somewhere. "Dad, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but what do you think about this?" And he's going through Ruth now, and I've been kind of hearing about that every now and then. So, you know, we can relate to our own personal children if they go on for the Lord, how that can bring joy to our hearts. But, you know, it may not just be our physical children, but spiritual children, people that we've influenced, perhaps people that the Lord's allowed us to point Christ out to them, that we've led them to Christ perhaps, or as the scripture tells us, some plant and some water, but of course God gives the increase. And so there may be ones, as Paul and some of the writers in the New Testament would speak about those that were children, as it were, to them, spiritual children. And what great joy it must have been. As you see in these epistles, as Paul would speak about ones that he had had contact with, ones that he had brought along, and we see ones that would be fellow workers with him at a later time. No greater joy. So back to our text of 2 John. We see the example of love. Verse 5 and 6. "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." So here, not a new commandment, yet that we should love one another. Again, thinking of John, this time in the Gospels, In the Gospel of John 13, we think of the upper room ministry and the great words of teaching about the comforter that would come. And yet, preceding that, back in chapter 13, we read these words at the end of 13, verse 34, in a similar vein of what we just read in 2 John, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So as we think about truth and love, this may be an oversimplification, of course, but in one sense, it's truth is what we know, what we believe, but love, in much ways, is what we display. And so we see the evidence of the truth that's in us by the love that is shed abroad in our hearts from the Lord Jesus that can be seen in our actions to others. So we see in these portions examples displaying truth and love. An example of love, we could go across, if you would please, to 3 John again. And we see a very specific acknowledgement of love, beginning at verse 5. "Beloved, thou doest faithful whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." So here we find very specific examples of displaying truth. And by the way, when we were back in 2 John, you may have noticed the word walk. How we walk displays that love. And here we find these verses, walking in truth and love. Well, we think of fellow helpers in the things of the Lord. We think of ones expressing hospitality to others. We think of ones that would give materially to those in need. As you see there in, still in 3 John, we see there in the middle of verse 6, "whom if thou wilt bring forward on their journey." If you look that up and you see the indication of helping one along in their need. We think of those that are going about spreading the gospel and the work of the Lord and how they are carried along at times by a great material help and how the Lord blesses them and uses them. So we move on back to our text. Go back to 2 John, please. And now as we come to the middle of these two epistles, we find a warning. A different warning, and yet we see a comparison. First, we see in 2 John a warning of a deceiver. Verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Stop there for a moment. We think of deceivers as coming to the world that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. A deceiver and an antichrist. Back in the book of 1 John, where you've been studying, you might recall back in chapter 2 of that book, there in verse 21, brings this to bear very clearly once again. "I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." So we find here the truth of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, this doctrine of Christ. Not only do we find that brought forth in 1 John, but back in the Gospel again. Clearly stated in these familiar verses of the Gospel, John chapter 1, as we reminded that title, that he's the Word. We think of the written word, we think of the spoken word, but here we see as a title, He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Such as verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, tabernacled amongst us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we think of this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we hold to the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is? You know, there are various groups, so-called, in Christianity, in Christendom, in the broad sense, that would say that they believe in Christ. They might even call Him Savior. But then when you dig in deep into what they actually believe about Him, they deny Him. They deny that He is God manifest in the flesh. Of course, we're looking at truth and love. And in John 14, 6, one of the great I am's, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So do you hold to the doctrine of Christ, acknowledging who the Lord Jesus Christ is? So, you know, it's one thing to say that He is the Savior of the world, but if you reject His person and who He is, there's a contradiction. We think of the one who is the eternal Son of God, the impeccable eternal Son of God, the one that in Him is no sin, the one who did no sin, the one who knew no sin. This is the one the Father sent, the eternal Son of God. So as we come back to our text of 2 John, and we notice in verse 10, a bit of exhortation along this line. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So in a very simple level, we think of someone that would come with heretical teaching to your door, and obviously you don't just bring him in and give him a cup of coffee and sit there and just let him spill out all that heretical teaching. But yet, perhaps something to think about. I know a couple of faithful brothers. One was with the Lord. One is down in the area. An older brother from the area where our brother Larry just come back from. And I've heard these brothers express that they look for an opportunity not to let them in their house, not to let them come in and spill poor theology or terrible teaching. But they look for the opportunity to lead the conversation themselves. Now, if you have a chance to witness someone and they're willing to listen, then that's one thing. It's another thing to allow someone to bring in bad doctrine. And so may we look for opportunities to witness to people, but obviously we don't want to be guilty of casting our pearls before the swine, that you might be ruined. And so we think of these things and how important it is to be evangelical on one hand, but we find the warning here not to allow this into our house. And so it's not so much just the physical house, it's into our home. We don't want this doctrine there. And even in a broader sense, it's not allowed into the assembly. That we cannot fellowship with those that reject the doctrine of Christ, the very foundation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So verse 11 tells us as well not to wish them Godspeed. It's not that we're going to give them a cup of coffee, shake their hand, and wish them well. We can't do that, because they're spreading damnable heresy. You know, another area I've been studying a little bit recently is the book of Jude. And the book of Jude parallels with the second chapter of 2 Peter. And the wording at the beginning of that chapter, speaking of false teachers, it speaks about false teachers that can come in among you, privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. They bring upon themselves swift destruction. So we that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we must hold to the doctrine of Christ. We move further there in 2 John. And actually, let's compare to 3 John now. There's a warning in 3 John as well, but of a different sort. Notice there in verse 9. Quite a distinction from the previous verses of those that was an example of love. Those that displayed hospitality and materially giving to those in need and so on. here in verse 9, John says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So here's this one that would not receive ones. In a sense, we see someone that has a domineering spirit, a controlling spirit. Now, this can come in different forms. But notice here, he loves to have the preeminence. Now, the other time you find this term preeminence in God's Word is back in Colossians chapter 1. And rightfully so, for there it's speaking of the Lord Jesus. Colossians and Ephesians, twin epistles, you might say. We find in Colossians, speaking about the risen head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you see, seven aspects of his preeminence there in the middle of Colossians 1, we see it coming together in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yes, we see he is the one who is in the preeminent place. Practically speaking, as an assembly and as an individual believer, we should yield to him as the preeminent one. But positionally, he is preeminent. So what a contrast. We go back and here's a warning. Here's the Diotrephes. Here's someone who loves to have the preeminence. And what is he guilty of? Not receiving the brethren. Notice there in verse 10 of 3 John, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. What a contrast to those displaying love, those displaying hospitality. You know, the privilege to be among the Lord's people in different places. It's just amazing when you just try to stop and think about saints in different places, in different assemblies, in different states, in different places. And just, it's amazing to think of the amount of hospitality that we've been privileged to see, to have seen over the years. And to see the love that's been displayed by so many people. And yet here's a warning about ones that won't receive the brethren. Ones that have this controlling spirit, you know, that can obviously cause great havoc amongst the body. But as we move forward, we see a bit of a contrast again. Notice in verse 11, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So here's someone that has a good report among the brethren. May we be as one that receives the brethren, that shows hospitality and love to the brethren, not as a Diotrephes, someone who wants to control, as it were, and not receive the brethren. So if you notice and compare these two warnings from 2 John and 3 John, in 2 John, we see it warns of those that are opposing truth. 3 John warns of those, in a sense, opposing love. So we think of truth and love. And then if we go back to 2 John, we compare these letter closing words. Verse 12, Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. And that could be rendered face to face, mouth to mouth. You know, we've had to do what we've had to do in recent years, and at times it's convenient whenever you have some virtual meeting, and those things can be a help. But how good it is to be able to put your hand in another person's hand, or give a brother or sister a hug. To speak face to face, mouth to mouth. You know, I think of the example back in Acts 20. And you remember when Paul desired to speak to the Ephesian elders, and he exhorted them, and he spoke great truth to them, and he warned about how grievous wolves even could come in among them. But then it talked about how, as he was departing, that he pointed out that, you know, he may not see him again. And they left one another with tears. What joy it is to be among the saints, to fellowship with the Lord's people. You know, one of the sisters last night was responsible to prepare the meal where we were speaking at, and she just said time and again, when we said, thanks, wonderful meal, she kept saying, well, you know, I just want to be able to fellowship with the saints. You know, that was really what it was all about to her. And should that be our attitude, that we want to be face to face, mouth to mouth, there with the saints, fellowshipping together because we have the same belief. We believe in the doctrine of Christ. We believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he both loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. So as we compare that over in 3 John, we notice in verse 13, and I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face, mouth to mouth. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Very personal. How do we feel about the fellowship of the saints? Do we see it's a joy to hear about the other saints moving on in the things of the Lord? Do we desire that time face to face with the saints? Do we look for opportunity to express hospitality on our own part to the saints? Do we hold fast to the truth of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Truth and love, these two short letters, with a bit of warning, but yet great example of those who love the saints and those who would hold to the truth of the Word of God concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask if one of the brothers may close us.